Well, finally, we're at the final words of Jesus, all right? We've been for 5 weeks now just kind of walking down this path of Jesus' words. These are his final words the moment he died as a human being. And I shared with you as I came out and we did the introductions this morning that, you know, this has been a really rough 2 days. I mean, you name it, it went wrong. But I started thinking, think about the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. We're going to look at his final words, but I want you to think about the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. Just before this, the day before, the evening before, he sits down for dinner with his disciples. 24 hours before he died on this cross, he was having dinner with his disciples, sitting around the table, enjoying a dinner. From the dinner, he sits there, and maybe you have celebrated the Lord's Supper, and they inaugurate the Lord's Supper. From the Lord's Supper, he goes out into the garden to pray. And in the garden, he's arrested. In the middle of the night, he's put on trial. Unusual, never done, shouldn't be done. That's not the way you do things. But he's thrown on trial that night. Convicted. Taken out. Beaten. Whipped. Smacked in the face. Spit on. Crown placed on his head. You just keep going on. 39 lashes. This is less than 24 hours. Carries his cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull. Somebody has to assist him. Drags this all the way up. They nail him to the cross. They drive nails through his wrists and through his feet. They drop that cross. The thing I think about is this. When they push the cross up, it falls into the hole. And you got the nails driven there, and as he's hung in there, just, you can just imagine. In the last 24, you know, we think we have a bad day. You know, we think, man, this has been a rough week, and we just look at what's going on, and as he's there, he cries out, and we've been looking at his words. Remember, we looked at words such as, oh, today you'll be with me in paradise, as he told the thieves next to him. Or he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or he screams, I thirst. And then his final words, it's finished. Look at this passage here. Look at what it says. Get your outline out. You might want to pull that out and kind of follow along. Look at what he says. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. We looked at that one last week. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. You know, as I read that, it's kind of like, I don't know about you, but sour wine doesn't sound too fulfilling when you're thirsty. They still continue to torture him until the very end. And at the very end, Jesus says, it is finished. Have you ever been to the end of your rope? Have you ever got to the point where you just, I'm done. I've had it. Anybody ever been full up to here? Yeah. Yeah, and Jesus is sitting there saying, it is finished. So here's what I want you to do with me. I want you this morning, we're going to do this together. I want you to say with me, now listen to me, I want you to say with me, it is finished, okay? Now what did I say? I want you to say with me, it is finished. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. It is finished. What did that mean when Jesus sets her nailed to the cross and says, it's finished? What's he talking about? What's he explaining? It's done. It's finished. It's over. See, we as human beings did the worst we could to God, and God was trying to do the best he could. What's finished? What was taken care of? What happened? And I want to give you a picture here, and so I gave you a definition of the word, it's finished. It's going to come on the screen. It's there on your outline. And you can see this word when he was talking about it. Look at what's said in this word. Look at some of these meanings of this word. Achievement, fulfillment, success, completion, perfection, final step, conclusion, debt paid, and end. When Jesus died on the cross, he was proclaiming that it's over. The debt is paid. See, Satan had, from the very beginning, tried to derail God's plan. God's plan was to build a great, big, beautiful world for us to enjoy and experience. That was God's plan. Would you agree? Isn't that the Garden of Eden? Anybody? That was God's plan. And Satan has been trying to destroy that from the very beginning. He got his foot in the door through Adam and Eve. All right? Now, I'm going to tell you, he got his foot in the door through Adam and Eve. All right? But we can't blame Adam and Eve because we still do the same stupid stuff that's called sin. Am I right? We still do things our way, when we want, how we want. It doesn't matter. We're still sinners. And Satan has always tried to stop it. You can read all the way through the scriptures. We can get the Pharaoh with Moses. You can come through the kings, through Egypt and Israel, through all the kings. You got the prophets. Finally, Jesus is born, and Satan says, well, Jesus is here. Now I give up, right? No. He tries to tempt Jesus, tries to shortcut Jesus. Hey, you can be ruler here. All you got to do is do this. Oh, you can have all this. All you got to do is do that. Satan had always tried all the way through to derail God's plan. But Jesus says, it's finished. See, Satan couldn't do it. Satan couldn't stop God's plan. I've often wondered, at this point, when Jesus died on the cross and said it is finished, did Satan rejoice and say, all right, I did it? Did Satan all of a sudden, you know, he crucified the Son of God, the Son of the living God. He's dead. I won. It's finished. I wonder if Satan kind of celebrated that, look at this, I've defeated God. And then 3 days later, the ground shakes, the stone rolls away, and Jesus is alive. What a difference. I mean, I just imagine this situation in this picture. And Jesus is sitting there saying, it's finished. Here, if you look at this definition, you need to see some of the implications when he's saying it's finished. See, it's like a servant has been sent to do a job. And the servant's sent to do a job, and he returns to his master and says, I've done everything you said. I've done everything you asked me to. I have completed the work that was assigned to me. That's what Jesus is saying. I have done everything that was asked of me. I've done everything that was assigned to me. I have completed everything, God, that you have sent me here to do. That's what this word finish means. The word also finish means, let's see, I was trying to think of what else. Oh, it's a merchant. It's a merchant who has wiped the debt free. It's like, you know, you get your credit card bill and it's like, well, you know what? It's paid in full. Psh, rip that paper up. You know, it's like you burn the deed to your, you burn the bank loan to your home. You know, it's paid in full. It's done. I don't owe any more on it. It's paid in full. My house. Woo! You know, I always like that when you get a paper. You know, you ever get these forms to fill out? Do you own a house? Are you renting or you know, whatever? And it's like, I don't own it yet. The bank still has it, and they won't give it to me till I pay it. Well, that's the same thing that he's saying here. Jesus is sitting there saying, I paid the price for sin. What's the price of sin? Death. Did Jesus die? Yes. See, it's that merchant idea. You know, he paid the debt. He paid that sacrifice. He did it himself. It's like the priest who examines the lamb. Remember when they were supposed to bring their lambs for sacrifice? Anybody read the Old Testament? Anybody with me here? You know, you read the Old Testament and they bring their lambs to sacrifice, and it was supposed to be the, well, you didn't want to give your best because you wanted to sell that one. You make more money on that one, so you brought your worst. Is that right? No, you don't. You bring your best, all right? And so the priest would check that out. He would look that over and see if it was an unblemished. And this is what we're seeing here. When Jesus is saying it's finished, he's saying, I've paid the price. I've done the work. It's completed. There's nothing else for you to do. I am the unblemished sacrifice for sin. That's a lot going on in those three words, isn't it? Those three words are amazing. When Jesus said it's finished, he said something that was amazing. It's finished. God's plan of redemption. From the very beginning, God sought to reunite and refresh and build a relationship with you and I. God wants a loving relationship with us. Is that right? God wants to walk through life with you. God wants to experience life with you. And Jesus made that possible. It's finished. I paid the price. Satan was defeated. No matter how much he tried, it's finished. See, that's the good news. All right, but I got some bad news for you. All right? Here's the bad news. If you're breathing today, you're not finished. If you're breathing today and you're living today, and I don't see anybody dead out there, all right? Now, hopefully I'll get dead before anybody dies. Yeah. Depends on how long I preach. All right? But you guys aren't finished yet. We're not I'm not finished yet. You know, if I'm alive, God has a plan for my life. I've never forgot this. There was, in the old blue church, there was a man that lived across the street from the old blue church. And I would visit him and talk with him, and he had no desire for the church. It was just, you know, there was just nothing there. But I would still go, and he was a nice old man, and we would visit. He'd walk across the street, and he finally ends up in the convalescent home. And nobody's seeing him. Nobody. Nobody. And I would go visit him. And he'd be there by himself. And he would lay there in bed and he would cry. Why am I still here? See, he had no children. He had a wife that had kids. But the kids, you know what the kids did? They put him in the home and took his house. And they wouldn't even go by see him. They were his stepkids, wouldn't even go by and see him. And he's laying in this bed and he's sitting there crying. I can tell you time after time when I went by, week after week, and he's crying, and it's like, why am I still here? Why am I still here? And I was trying to explain, I don't know, but I know God has something for you to do, otherwise you wouldn't be here. That God has a plan in all this. And I would share with him, and I would visit with him. Now, most of us aren't like that. But I want to make sure you know, God has a plan for your life. You will not die any sooner than God says so, okay? Guaranteed. But God has a plan. We all have unfinished work. If you look at your outline, I put that there. We all have unfinished business. Every one of us. There's something for us to finish. We have unfinished work to do. That's why we're here. Now, the challenge is, what is that? I want to give you a picture here. Here's a church in the book of Revelation. And John is writing them in a picturesque language. And so we're going to look at this. Now I want you to think about what's being said. I'm going to go through this very slowly because I want this to sink in. I want you to hear what he's saying here and think about what he's saying here. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, right. Now, just again, I'm going to make sure you get a picture here. He's writing in symbolic language because he's, why is John on the island of Patmos? Because they wanted to kill him because he's preaching Jesus. So he can't write, Jesus said, because they hear that, they're going to go out there and get him and finish him off. So he's writing in this picturesque language. And he says to the angel, and the word angel, really, the literal meaning is messenger. To the messenger of the church in Sardis, to the preacher, to the teacher, to the leaders of the church in Sardis, write these words. The words of him who has seven spirits of God and the seven stars. To give you a picture of this, again, this symbolic language, he can't write Jesus because that's why he's on the island. They want to kill him. If he says Jesus, they're going to go kill him. So what he does is he uses a picture language that the people will recognize. Seven is God's number. Seven is an image of God. Seven is perfection. So he's talking about the perfect spirit and the perfect seven star. He's talking about Jesus, all right? So Jesus writes this, I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. I want to challenge you this morning, and here's where I want to go. God has something for you to do. Are you doing it? See, you're not just here. You're not just here by accident. You're not just here this morning by accident. You're not just here in Salida by accident. You're not just here in the midst of your family, whatever your family name is, by accident. I believe God designs all of this. I believe God plans all of this. I was there this week visiting with some people, and they were from Kentucky and Tennessee. And I'm going to tell you something. I am so blessed that God, not just that I was born in America, but that I was born in California, okay? I am so glad I was born in California. It is, I mean, you know, nothing wrong with those other states, but there's nothing like California, guys. You need to know that. I'm blessed. See, God had a purpose in all of this. God had a design in all of this. God designed you for where you're at right now in your family. I don't care if you're a child or you're a senior adult or somewhere in between like a young adult like me. I don't care anywhere in there. God has a plan. And there's unfinished stuff. I want to ask you, can you remember a time, if you're a Christian, okay, I'm going to talk to the Christians for a minute. If you're not a Christian, hang with me a minute, we'll get there. But if you're a Christian this morning, can you remember a time when you were so excited about God? Can you remember a time when there was just something in you that just burned and you just couldn't wait? You couldn't wait maybe to read a passage. You couldn't wait to get to church. You couldn't wait to see a brother or sister. There was just some, you were just so excited about God. But now, you know, life has happened. You know, just the routines of life. Just the everyday stuff. You know, bills to pay, kids to raise, tests to take. You know, just the everyday stuff. You know, at one time, you know, you were so bubbly up. You were so excited about God. And now it's just kind of like, okay, it's Sunday. What happened? See, what happens to us? Why is it that these flames burn bright, that we have this reputation of being alive? Have you ever, as I read that, have you ever known anybody like that? Maybe it's not you, okay? Maybe it's still bubbling up. Maybe you're still on fire. But have you ever known anybody like that, that they're so excited, and now it's just kind of like, okay. And here, God is sitting there saying, listen, God's not done yet. God's not finished yet. There's more. You know, it's kind of like, well, I'm going to use the word maybe laziness, okay? It's Sunday morning and it's lazy time, right? It's the only day I get to sleep in. The only day I get to sleep in. I don't know about you, but I wake up no matter what about 6:30 or 7 o'clock. Now, some of you have a better habit than me. I don't care what day it is. It doesn't matter if it's Monday or Sunday. It doesn't matter if it's Friday or Saturday. 6:30 rolls around, I wake up. But I'm going to sleep in on Sunday. You know, how many of us have maybe family today that says, I'm not going to go to church, I'm going to sleep in, and they're already awake sitting there watching TV. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How does this happen? Why does this happen? You know, I remember as a child, my parents would drag us to church. We'd get up really quiet, my brothers and I. We'd get up really quiet, and our parents are going to drag us to church. And it's like, okay, let's be real quiet. Maybe they'll oversleep, all right? Anybody? Come on now. Any of you kids been there? Maybe mom and dad oversleep today, you know, and I'm quiet. And I can remember sitting there, and know what I did? I didn't sleep in. I got up, and I turned TV on. You know what I watched as a kid? Anybody? Now, come on now. Some of you got to get, you're going to identify you. Anybody remember Lamb Chop? Come on now. Anybody remember Lamb Chop? That, you know, yeah, come on now. Don't say I'm the oldest in here. I know better. Yeah. But I remember being real quiet because I could watch Lamb Chop, you know. Why is it this laziness, you know, life, just the stress and the pressure of life, and things just kind of slip away and things just kind of slide? Why does that fire go out? You know, Jesus is sitting there saying it's finished. It burned bright in his life to the very end. It's finished. And yet our fire, I think this verse really says it. You know, God started a work in us, and God's working in us, and somehow, for some reason, it's just not there anymore, and it's not where we wanted, it's not what we want, and it's kind of slipped away. But this morning, I'm going to challenge you. So if you look at your outline and you get it out, get your pencil out, because you're going to work, all right? I don't want you to come and sit here and be bored by Gary. I'm going to put you to work, all right? If you look at the paper, It says, identify your unfinished business. What is some unfinished business? What is it that God's laid on your heart? What is it that stirred you? What is it that God wants you to do? Is there a burden? Is there something that you've always wanted to do that God has laid on your heart? Something specific? You know, I don't know, you know, ministry to seniors, help with Vacation Bible School. I'll give you a good hint right now. You know, is there a burden that God has given you? Is there something that you feel you were created for? You need to know, I have no doubt in my mind, in my heart, now, that God created me and formed me and called me to be a pastor. I love people. I love you guys. I love this church. I love Salida. I love Salida. I don't want anybody in Salida to go to hell. I want all of them to find Jesus Christ. My neighbors, I don't care what they do. The mistakes they make, the lifestyles they choose, I don't care because I want them to find God, because I figure when God does that, God can change all that stuff. I just got to love them where they're at like Jesus did me. Yeah. And I feel, you know, God gave me that kind of a heart. Yeah. That when some woman sits there in front of the blue church and says, Gary, I hate you. Literally, some of you know the story that this lady is sat in front of the blue church in Salida one time and says, Gary, I hate you. And my response is, you know, that's okay. Because there's going to be people in town that hate me and people in town that like me, as long as you're okay with that. And I ministered to her and we served her. She even came to church a couple of times. And I still talk with her. I have no hard feelings to her. I want her to know Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter. She can hate me as long as she can love God. I'm okay with that too. See, God gave me that kind of heart. What has God given you a heart? Where does it beat for children? Does it beat for youth? Does it beat for, I don't know. What is it that God created you to do? Has he called you to adopt? Has he called you to be a foster parent? Is there a passion and a calling there? Maybe there's some unforgiveness. Maybe there's some unfinished business of unforgiveness. Maybe there's somebody you need to let off the hook. Maybe there's some grudge you need to let go of. Is there some unfinished unforgiveness? Is there, maybe it's getting out of debt. Maybe it's time to get out of debt and that burden of all those credit cards and all the burdens of life and all of those things. Maybe there's somebody you need to share Christ with. Maybe God has given you a burden. There's somebody on our street that God has placed upon my heart that I want to talk to, and I've been praying about it since February, and I have not crossed their path since February. Now, I believe Satan is doing that. But God has laid somebody on my heart that I want to talk with, and I just haven't had, and it's going to be, you know, and it's like when I was at the On Target conference, God laid somebody on my heart as I was praying there. And I've tried to find them. I walk by their place. I see them every once in a while, but never for some reason. I used to be able to talk with them all the time, but in the last 2 months, I haven't had a chance to talk with them because we just haven't crossed paths. I got some unfinished business there that I need to talk with this person. He's a preacher's kid. And he's not where he really needs to be. And I think, you know, what made me think about it is my son. You know, I want somebody to talk to my son. So I need to talk to somebody else's son. And God gave me that burden. What about you? What is God putting on your heart? Is there somebody you need to share with? A brother? A sister? An aunt? Uncle? Mother? A father? A husband? A wife? Is there somebody you need to share? I want you to write something down, all right? I'm stopping. Write something down. Quiet. See, make everybody nervous. What is your unfinished business? Somebody to forgive? A step you need to take? An opportunity you need to seize? See, every day is another opportunity. Every day is a chance. Every day is another step closer that we need to take. Why is it we have all this good intentions but finish very few things? Anybody? Anybody got that picture? Why is it? How many of us start something and never finish? How many times have you started something and never finished it? Anybody besides me do something like that? Yeah. You really want to. You're excited. You get started. And then pretty soon you crash and burn. Like I say, I have that burden for this young man, and it's really interesting. God hasn't let it go down. Every time I drive by the house, I think about it. And I'm glad, because I don't want to forget. But see, we need to see what God has done and experienced. See, God finished it. On the table out in the front, I put a paper out there about promises fulfilled by God to show how he finished it, to show you Jesus. And this is just a few. You need to know there's hundreds of them. Just to kind of give you an idea of what God finished through Jesus Christ. If you read the book of Zechariah, you'll see that it says Jesus was going to be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Was he? Yes. You read the book of Isaiah, and it'll tell you about Jesus being rejected. And he was. You read the book of Isaiah, and you'll hear he was beaten, he was spit on, and he was mocked in the book of Psalms. And Zechariah said his friends would forsake him. It says he would be wounded and bruised for our transgressions in Isaiah. It said he would pray for those who persecuted him in Isaiah. It said they would cast lots or gamble for his clothes in the book of Psalms. It said that darkness would fall on the land when he was crucified in the book of Amos. It said not a bone would be broken in him in the book of Psalms. It said his hands and feet would be pierced in the book of Psalms. It said they'd give him vinegar to drink in the book of Psalms. See, God finished what he started. I put those, if you want to pick this up, you can pick it up out there. That way you can see some promises. You ever wondered about promises? I wanted to give you some of that. So if you want to pick it up, it's on the table in the front. God finished. Why is it we don't? Why is it so easy to start and so quick to stop? You know, why do we wrestle with these? So what I want to do is just really two quick things. I'm going to go real quick this morning. Just two quick things to kind of keep us moving. All right? To kind of, how can I finish well? How can I finish something I start? How can I make it work? And I'm going to use a bad word, all right? So you're going to have to excuse my language. You're going to have to bear with me because I'm going to use a bad word. It's a word that we all hate, all right? Look on the screen. Make a commitment. We do not like making commitments. All right? We don't. We got people living together because they don't want to what? We love each other. But I'm not going to make a commitment. It's so funny in our world today. I think we've just skewed commitment all up in our world today. I watch a show called Pawn Stars. Anybody else watch Pawn Stars? Anybody? Come on. Am I the only weird one? Yeah. Pawn Stars, American Pickers, anybody? You ever watch it? They make a deal with somebody. And what do? They shake hands. Remember when your handshake was your commitment? Remember when your word meant something? Nowadays, you go buy a house, you get a stack of papers like this. Sign this, initial, sign. You know, and they have you, and you know why they have you initial those other pages? If you notice that, you sign the back or you sign the front and you initial all the rest. Because what they do is people have fought this in court that, well, they inserted that paper after I signed. That way they know if you initial every page, that's why you initial every page. So you can't say, I didn't see that. Because people are saying, well, I didn't see that. Yeah, I made a commitment, but I didn't see that one. Why is it we've screwed up commitment? We've messed up commitment. See, we think eagerness is a good enough commitment. Yeah. We think good intentions is good enough commitment. You know, well, I had good intentions. Yeah, I failed, but I had good intentions. Yeah. We think all that stuff adds up, and it's not. We need to understand, we need to make commitment. If you want to take and to grow and to finish well, you're going to need to make a commitment. Look at the scripture with me. Now you should finish what you start. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Finish what you start. How many of us have projects in our house that we've started and never finished? And we got good intentions on someday. Men. Either I'm weird or you guys are lying. I don't know which one. All right? Yeah. We got good intentions. I'm going to finish this. I'm going to do this. Half-finished projects. I got a bathroom that's half-finished. Anybody? Yeah, I got to pull the linoleum up, redo the wall. How come we do this? We need to finish what we start. We need to make the commitment to do that. There was, in 1519, Cortez sailed the Ocean Sea, right? You guys, anybody know that? Yeah. Financed from Spain. What, 11 ships? I think there was 11 ships. He got 11 ships financed by Spain, sails out of Spain to the New World in search of gold and all the possessions of the world. And they sail out, and everybody's excited. 11 ships. They're all excited. They're thrilled. They sail across the Atlantic Ocean. They land in Veracruz. They're excited. They're thrilled. 11 ships of people discovering the New World and all the treasures of the New World for Spain. But the excitement starts to wear off because they're eating food they really don't like. And they're running from guys that want to cut their head off, okay? So they're kind of getting tired of not being home. So they're kind of debating about going back. And fortunately, Cortez hears about that. So you know what he does? He sends one of the guys over to those 11 ships and he burns them. Burns all 11 ships. Now I'm going to tell you what. Are they committed now? Are they sold now? They're in. How many of us have something we need to burn so we're committed? How many of us have things that we need to get rid of so that we're committed? You need to know, as I wrote this sermon, you know what I'm thinking? I'll be honest, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking Disneyland, okay? Is that something that gets between me and God? You need to know, I pray about that. You need to know, I enjoy going to Disneyland. I enjoy that experience. It is an escape route for me. It is something I really appreciate. But if it becomes between me and God, guess what? I got to burn it. Now, I'm not going to go down and burn Disneyland. That's not what I'm talking. I'm going to burn my annual pass, okay? I'm going to burn my annual pass, all right? But if that gets in my way between me and God, if it becomes so important to me that I'm going to miss church to go to Disneyland, I got a problem. And you guys know how much I enjoy Disneyland, right? If it gets to the point where I'm going to skip out and, you know, hey, I got a schedule. You know, I'm going to cut my sermon short so I can get out of here early on the 10th of June because I'm going to Disneyland again, okay? So we're going to have a really quick sermon Sunday. Yeah. I won't let Dan preach because he's preaching longer than me now. Yeah. He's preaching on Father's Day, though. But, you know, what do we let get between us and God? Is there things that we need to let burn? Is there some things, you know, we have good intentions. We have good willingness. We really want to. I mean, I want to do this. You know, I want to be the husband I need to be. I want to be the father I need to be. I want to be the mother I need to be. I want to be that brother. I want to be that sister. I want to be that children's worker. I want to be that preschool person. I want to be that prayer warrior for God. I want to be that good worker at work. I want to be, and yet we just don't commit. Why is it so hard to make commitment? Why is it so easy to fall from them? And I just want to encourage, I want you to see Jesus. Think about Jesus and his commitment. Talk about being sold out. I want you to look at his words here. Look at what it says. See, Jesus was wrestling with finishing it, okay? Remember, Jesus went to the garden and he's praying in the garden and it's like, God, I know what's ahead, man, and it's not good. See, I believe Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen to him. I believe he knew the path that he was on. He knew it was going to happen that night. He knew he was going to go on trial. He knew he'd be beaten. He knew he'd be whipped. He knew he'd be spit on. He knew he'd be smacked in the face. He knew he'd be nailed to a cross. I believe Jesus knew all of that. Is he going to finish well? What's he going to do? I mean, that's commitment. Look what he says. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. God, I really don't want to do that. Anybody ever have God ask you to do something you really don't want to do? Come on, I'm the only one? Man, I must not be a very religious person. But, you know, God, I don't want to do that. I just don't feel like that. God, what do you mean I got to talk to my neighbor? What do you mean I got to apologize when they offended me and I didn't do anything? I got to apologize, God. I don't want to do that. You know, God, take this. Isn't that what Jesus prayed right here? God, if there's some other way, God, if there's anything else, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. If you read on, it's so powerful, and he's wrestling with this so much. His sweat is like blood, literally dripping from him. Talking about commitment. See, are we committed? What are you willing to commit to? What are you willing to say? You know, I'm going to go, man. I'm making a commitment. Not this willy-nilly stuff. Not when it's easy. Not when it feels good. But I'm willing to make this commitment. I'm willing to go all the way. To be resolved. No changing. You hear me say this all the time, and I try to communicate this. You know, there's a lot of things I don't understand about God. There's a lot of things I don't get. I'm serious. I'm the pastor. I read this book, I'd probably say 100 times now, front back to front, at least. I read it all the time. Matter of fact, I got some guys reading Luke right now. We're going to take 2 weeks, so I'm going to give them a little break. It's going to take 2 weeks. Those chapters of 70 verses are long, all right? So we're going to give 2 weeks, some of you guys. If you finish, you're ahead of us. You get a week off. Yeah. I read this. But I don't understand everything. But here's what I say. And you've heard me say this if you've been coming for a while. I'm just going that way. God, I don't get this, but I'm going that way. That's all I'm just going to keep going. I have this feeling for me. You know what? I'm going to fall. As long as I fall on my face, I'm going in the right direction. That's the way I feel about my life. I'm just going to go that way. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm going that way. Now, sometimes I slow down, which is not right. Sometimes I run, but I'm going that way. See, I'm resolved. I am not turning around. That's why my favorite song, anybody know one of my favorite songs? I have decided to follow Jesus. Though no one goes with me, I'm going with Jesus. You know what? Here's what I like. When somebody rose from the grave, never to die again, as the Son of the living God says, follow me. You know what? I'm going with him. All right? All these others, pretenders that are still in the grave, are still dead, but I ain't going with them. I'm going to go with the one who rose from the grave, never to die again, that says, follow me. I'm going with God. Whatever you say, Jesus, I'm with you. I'm on your side. I'm on your team. I don't have to understand everything. I don't get everything, but I'm on your side, God. If you can raise Jesus from the dead, never to die again, I'm going to do whatever you say. That's it. I am resolved. I'm committed. Now, someone to commit me to the hospital maybe someday is being crazy, but I'm going with God. I want to challenge you. What are you committed to? I'm committed to God as long as my finances are good. I'm committed to God as long as my life runs smooth. I'm committed to God, and here's the one I see. I'm committed to God when things are bad, but when things turn good, God, I'll catch you later. Anybody seen those kind of Christians before? I am resolved. Are you resolved? God put you here with a plan. God has a purpose for your life. You're breathing today for a reason. I think it is so sad when I see people that just, I don't know why I'm here. I feel really blessed to know without a shadow of doubt I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I am where I'm supposed to be. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going where I'm supposed to go. Now, do I always like it? I want to pray this sometimes. I'm serious. I want to pray, God, do something different. I need, you know, anybody tired? Anybody frustrated? Yeah. Anybody full? I'm going. That's all I know. Whatever, God. I'm not going to quit. I might slow down. I might even fall on my face, God. But you're there to pick me up, and I'm going. Are you committed? See, here's one of the things for me as a pastor. I think some people just get enough of God to make them miserable. I really do. I think some people get enough of God that says, well, I can't do this, and I can't do this, and I can't go here, and I can't have this, and all they know is the no. And I want to tell you, God gave us the biggest yes. Here's an idea. God gave us 10 no's and everything else is yes. Think about it. There's only 10 commandments. And everything else is yes. Whatever. You want to be a bank teller? Hey, go for it, God says. You want to be FBI agent? Go for it. You want to join the military? Go for it. You want to do this? Go for it. God says, whatever, go. Just don't do these things because it will ruin your life. They will destroy you. They will eat you up from the inside out. Will you resolve to make a commitment? I'm with you, God, as long as things go well. As soon as times get tough, as soon as things get uneasy, as soon as the boat starts rocking, God, I'm bailing. How many of us have seen Christians like that? Anybody? I want to ask you to make a commitment. Are you resolved? No matter what, God, I'm with you. I'm on board. Wherever you go, I'll follow. I want to challenge you. But here's the next thing you need to do, though. After you make a commitment, you got to take the next step. Okay? After you make the commitment, you got to take the next step. This is the hard part. The hardest part is getting started. The hardest part is getting started. But once it starts, you got to keep it going. You got to just take one step. And that's not giant steps, and it's not giant leaps. It's just one step. I'm reading a book, and Stephen and I are reading a book, and I've shared it with some others here. And it has this concept. You got to crawl before you walk. You got to walk before you run. Some of you need to make crawling steps. You just need to make a little step. Some of us need to start running a little more. See, we need to see this in our lives. I need to take a step. There's this line in the sand that once you make that step, things can start moving and things can start happening. And I want to challenge us. What's your next step? What do you need to do? How are you going to do this? And here I want to give you some help to do that, though. Look at the scripture here. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Why don't you circle the word the Spirit? See, God's going to give you some help. You don't have to do this on your own. You know, your next step is just not you. I was sharing with some of the young adults last night about going to school. One of them was talking to me because I have a doctorate and all the schooling I went to. And it's like, you need to understand something. I am not smart. If you don't believe me, ask them how many spelling mistakes they found in some cells I typed last night. They had to fix them this morning. Yeah. Intelligence is not my thing. But you know what I have? I have a commitment to finish. Yeah, that was it. I mean, I'm not that smart. I didn't know that much, but I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish school. I don't care what it takes. And I did. Went back and went back and went back. But God has that Spirit to empower us. I look at my life and I go, how did all this happen? I'm sure if you went back and asked some of my teachers in high school and said, hey, guess what? Gary Doon, remember Gary Doon? And they go, yeah, you know he's got a doctorate now. They go, oh. Be like my English teacher at Cal Baptist when I walked in, my first English class at Cal Baptist. And I've shared this with you that the teacher gives us our grades and you go up to get your paper and he's telling you your final grade. And I go up to get my paper and he gives me my paper and he goes, Gary, spelling the way you spell, I don't know how you got this B. We have these things in our lives. I didn't give up. I've been thrown out of my English teacher's office. I've literally been told that an English teacher at junior college at Cosumnes River says, Gary, I can't help you anymore. Get out of here. That's exactly what she told me. Because I kept going in. I don't get it. I don't get it. Now, you give me math. I can do math any day. And I sat there with my granddaughter the other day helping her do her math. But I'm not quitting. What's your next step? What is that? You know, you got people that say, you can't do it. Anybody ever tell you, you can't do that? Don't even try. I want to tell you something. I have this belief. I told my kids, and I've told the kids in this church over and over again, you can do and be anything you want. I'm seriously. If you're here this morning, you want to be the President of the United States, I'm going to tell you what, give it a shot. Now, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't want the job. Yeah. I don't want that job. But if that's your desire, become a Christian first, okay? Make sure you know Jesus, because I like a Christian guy. And then go lead our country to God. But whatever you want to do, see, take that next step, and it's a small, maybe it's a crawl. Maybe it's bigger, but you got to take that next, but God's given you the Spirit. The Spirit's going to empower you. The Spirit's going to help you. Not only does he give you the Spirit, look at this next one he helps us with. The Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He gives us the Bible to give us. He's going to show the way. He's going to reveal the way to us. I want to make sure you understand this. God does not play hide and seek with his plans for your life. See, I really believe this, and I see this in God's Word. If you really want to know God's will, it's not confusing. God doesn't say, pray harder, go further. I think it's just a matter of, okay, God, open my eyes. Let me see where you're taking me. See, I believe most of our lives aren't down a road in a 90-degree turn. I believe most of the time, as I look at my life, I can see before I was 17 how God was kind of directing me to the point where I met my cousins, and my cousins taught me to meet Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just a big 90-degree turn. I began to realize it was a slow walk. It was a slow process, but it required one step after another, after another. See, I want to challenge us. Are we going to take steps? Are we going to take that next step? And what's that next step? If you look at your paper, I got it there. What's your next step? What is your next step? You wrote something down earlier that you need to finish. What is your next step? Is there a phone call you need to make? Is there a letter you need to write? What is that next step? Is there a resume you need to fill out? What is that next step you need to take? You know, I don't know what it is in your life or what you need to do in your life. You know, is there somebody you just got to forgive? You just got to plain said, you know what? I've got to let it go. And my next step is to let it go and to ask God to help you let it go. What is that next step? Is it to accept Jesus Christ? Maybe you've wrestled with, what do I do with God? Do I believe in God? How do I deal with God? Maybe that's that your next step. You got to cross that line and say, you know what? I'm going to trust God. See, I want to challenge, but it's just one step. You got to have this commitment. Here's that commitment line. Am I going to do it? Am I going to do it? Am I going to make that commitment? Am I going to take that next step? Doesn't it be a big step? I grew up during the space age. Anybody grew up during the space race? Anybody? Anybody remember the space race trying to get to the moon? President Kennedy will land on the moon before the decade ends. Anybody remember this one? Come on now. People, help me out. Don't say I'm the oldest one in the church. Going to land on the moon. But you know what they did first? You know what the first thing they did? They shot a rocket up, and it went up, and it went down. That was it. It went up, and it went down. That was it. Look at the step. It goes, here's the Mercury step, and goes all the way through to the Saturn step when they're flying around the moon. Yeah. And then we got Eagle landing on the moon. I mean, it was one step. You know, it's like, okay, we're going to get up and go down. We're going to go around the world. We're going to walk in space. We're going to go around the moon. Now it's time to land on the moon. But it was one small step at a time. What is that step you need to take? I want you to write something down. I'm serious. I want you to write, what is that next step? Is there a phone call? Is there somebody you need to talk to? Is there a prayer you need to pray? Is there a decision you need to make? What is that next step for you? There's unfinished business in all of our lives. What's my next step? I want you to write something down. Look at this scripture. And I am sure of this, that who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Whatever that commitment you're making is, whatever that next step is, God's going to help you do it. This is not just about you. It's what God wants to do through you and with you. What is that next step? Will you make a commitment? God's going to help you. It's not just about you. I look at my life and I see the hand of God in my life over and over and over again. And I want to challenge you. Will he bring it to completion? In the 1968 Olympics in Mexico, there was a marathon ran. There was a runner from Tanzania expected to do really well, expected to compete really well for the gold medal. And as he ran the race, he got about halfway through and he fell. And when he fell, he sliced open his knee and dislocated his knee. All right? He gets up and he wraps it in a towel and he bandages his leg the best he can. And he continues to run. Walk. Stride and stride. Till he gets back to the stadium. Because you start the marathon in the stadium, you end it in the stadium. The race has been over for hours. Hours. And he walks back in. And enters back the ring. And he finishes the laps. And he finishes the race. Last. Last. And he finished. One of the newsmen went up to him and began to talk to him and ask him, why? Why did he run this race? And why didn't he give up since he wasn't going to win and his dream of success was gone? And why did he finish? Why did you stick it out? And he said something along this line. My people didn't send me 5,000 miles to quit. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish. See, God didn't send us to quit. God sent us to finish. Jesus finished well. Will we? Whatever God's plan is for your life. You know, I wish I had a book on all your lives. I could tell you, this is what God wants you to do. This is what God wants you to do. This is what God wants you to do. Now, if you want some assignments in the church, I could sure help you there. But I'm going to tell you, I believe each one of you know what God wants you to do. Or you can. I absolutely believe that. I don't think God's playing a secret game with you. I think most of us know what God wants us to do. God, we know in our hearts who we need to forgive. We know in our hearts who I need to call. We know in our hearts who I need to phone. We know in our hearts who I need to write a letter to. We know in our heart who that neighbor is on my street that I need to make sure I find and cross that path. I don't know if he's moved out yet. I don't know where he's at, but I'm not giving up. I've got unfinished business with this young man on my street. Where's yours? I'm going to finish. I want to finish well. Look at this last verse. That my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for the finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. That was his, okay? That's what God called him to do. I'm going to tell you, God called you to do. Will you finish? Will you finish the race God has set before you? He's given you the Spirit, and he's given you a light. You can finish. I want to assure you, you can finish. You might not be first, and you might not be the greatest success, but you can finish what God has for you. Run the race. Finish the course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I can tell you over and over, there's wonderful scriptures. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Those are the words I want to hear. Will you finish? Jesus says, it's finished. God says, we're not. You're not, and I'm not. Will you finish well? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you're not done with us, Lord. That none of us are perfect, and we all have faults and shortcomings, and we all have failures. But Lord, you began a good work in us. You know why our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed? Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you wrote something down and you want me to pray for you. Maybe there's something that you feel you need to finish. If you do, would you raise your hand and I'll pray for you? I see them. Thank you. Thank you. Something that you feel, God, I need to finish this. I need strength. I need wisdom. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, I lift these up to you. I lift all of them. But Lord, these who raise their hand, their heart is to finish well, Lord. I ask you to let the Spirit that's in their hearts empower them and strengthen them. That you give them wisdom and knowledge through the light of your word, Lord, that they'll make the decisions and walk the path that you have for them. Let them know that this is not a journey of their own. It's not of their own making, of their own design. It is your will and your way. And so, Lord, you lay your hand upon their lives, upon their hearts and minds as they seek to serve and follow you. Lord, I pray for all of us that will come before your throne as a living sacrifice to finish well. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to give an invitation, as is our practice in the church, and I'm just here to pray with you. I'm here to share with you. Maybe you need to cross that line of salvation. Maybe you're sitting here and said, I've always thought about God, but I've never made a commitment to God, and I need to make that commitment to God. I'm going to do life God's way, not mine. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Whatever the Bible says is what I'm going to do. I don't know it. I don't agree with it, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you're willing to make that commitment, maybe you need to cross that line this morning. Maybe there's other things. Maybe you just need some prayer, some battles you're facing right now. This is your time for God to speak to your heart. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And as we sing this song, would you come? So you just stand and you come as the Spirit leads, and we'll give God the glory and the honor.